on KIXI AM and FM and FM stereo in Seattle. And the time is 10 p.m.
CBS News. New bombings in Northern Ireland, one of which destroyed a hotel. I'm Stephanie Shelton reporting on the CBS radio network. The hotel blast occurred after two men walked into a small hotel north of Belfast, left a bomb, and warned everyone to get out. About 30 minutes later, the bomb exploded. There were no casualties. Two other hotels were damaged by bombs as well. An extremist firebombed two homes owned by Roman Catholics in a predominantly Protestant North Belfast suburb. No injuries reported in any of these attacks. Rebel rockets have hit Phnom Penh again in a raid which killed two people and wounded eight others. Military officers say they think the rockets were launched from marshes east of Phnom Penh, long used by insurgents to fire on Cambodia's capital. A warning to motorists in a moment.
Doctor, lawyer, engineer, your son's gonna have a great career, but it's no sense you can be sure. College bills make a rich man poor. Everyone's got a right to dream. It's great when you can make it by U.S. saving funds today and see the dream come true. Yeah, for the future.
Motorists who carry gasoline cans or have an extra gas tank installed in their car may be held liable in accidents which result in fires or explosions. That's the word from the president of the Association of Trial Lawyers, Leonard Ring, who adds that this applies even to car owners who might not be driving at the time of an accident.
There's no question that he would also be liable to anyone injured as a result of carrying a gas can in the back of his car. We've had two of those incidences already. One was in Harrisburg, Illinois, where five children were burned to death in an automobile collision, which the investigating officers concluded would have been a minor collision and minor injuries, if any, except for the extra gas tank that was carried in the trunk of the car, which exploded at the time of impact.
Ring says garages which install extra gas tanks could also be held responsible for an accident. There's one partial solution to the gasoline shortage. Join a carpool. That's what Pentagon employees will be doing, as Bob Schieffer reports from Washington.
There have been thousands of ceremonies at the Pentagon over the years, but this was probably the first ever to unveil plans for a carpool. There was a band, pretty girls, and speeches. Several hundred people showed up voluntarily to listen. Working with local governments, the Pentagon plan is to put the names of its 28,000 employees into a computer. The computer will figure out who lives in whose neighborhood. This will help the employees set up the carpools. Those who cooperate will get to park close to the building. Deputy Secretary of Defense William Clements was on hand to make the featured speech.
Considering Senator Proxmire's thing about Pentagon automobiles and the allegation of some people with respect to my conflict of interest in energy, that probably what I ought to be doing is running to work and after a hard day's work, walk home.
Clemens said he'd like to join a carpool, but other officials said that would probably be impractical since the secretary works such long hours. So he'll probably continue to use the car and driver furnished by the government. Bob Schieffer, CBS News, Washington.
The Economic Employment Opportunity Commission says the El Paso Natural Gas Company has agreed to pay women and minority employees retroactive salary increases of more than $320,000. More in a moment.
Are you looking for a rewarding career in law enforcement? The Executive Protective Service, a uniformed security force under direction of the United States Secret Service, needs qualified young men and women to help protect the White House and foreign embassies in Washington, D.C. The pay of an Executive Protective Service officer is $10,000 a year to start, and there's great advancement opportunity. Officers have got all the fringe benefits of other federal employees and more. Interested? Well, to be considered, you must be a United States citizen between 21 and 29 years of age on June 30th, 1974, and have a high school diploma or the equivalent or 1 year of appropriate police experience. You must be at least 5'8", but not more than 6'4", and your weight has to be in proportion to your height. And you have to have good eyesight with at least 20/40 in each eye, correctable to 20/20. For more information, check your phone book and then get in touch with the nearest office of the United States Secret Service, an equal opportunity employer.
A Missoula, Montana motorist, angered at a policeman's inept parking of his squad car at a local cafe, left a note under the police car's windshield. It read, "Because of your bullheaded, inconsiderate, feeble attempt at parking, you have taken enough room for a 20-mule team, 2 elephants, 1 goat, and a safari of pygmies from the African interior." The unidentified motorist continued, "I sign off wishing you an early transmission failure on the expressway during the rush hour." Stephanie Shelton, CBS News.
And CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. We have the school notice. All elementary schools in the Bellevue School District will be operating 1 hour late again tomorrow. Starting time is 9:30. However, junior and senior high schools will operate on schedule. CBS Mystery Theater is next on KIXI. And the weather outlook for the KIXI listening area, calling for variable cloudiness through Thursday with slight chance of snow flurries tomorrow night and Thursday. The highs in the mid-30s tomorrow, upper 30s on Thursday, and the lows in the 20s. Currently in downtown Seattle, a temperature of 31 degrees. The barometer is rising. It reads 30.02. KIXI time, now 7 minutes past 10.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... E.G. Marshall. Welcome to the sound of suspense, to the fear you can hear. For the next 52 minutes, I shall be your guide on a journey over a strange terrain. Some people find their names printed in the most unusual places. Let me tell you about a man who is convinced that his was written on a bullet.
Paul, give a password.
It's me, Jerry. It's me. Don't shoot.
Paul.
Yes, Jerry, it's Paul.
Paul. Paul, you're dead. How can you...
Yes, Jerry, I'm dead. But I shouldn't be. I took your bullet.
Our mystery drama, The Bullet, was written especially for the CBS Radio Mystery Theater by Sam Dan, and stars Larry Haynes. I shall be back shortly with Act One.
Take the time to listen. Take the time to care. If I know you understand me, then my mind is yours to share. Listen with your heart. Listen with your mind. When you really listen, love is what you find.
Time to listen. Too busy forming reply.
But Rain, what he's saying is important.
Listen here, who's running this show? If we listen to everything that guy says, we might not have an answer for him.
But Rain!
Sign off here. Mouth, stand by.
When you listen, love is what you find.
A book from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons.
A child who doesn't read, the world is a closed book. Drifting, dropping back, dropping out. That's why a nationwide organization named RIF, Reading is Fundamental, was formed. To help get books into the hands of children who have no books of their own. A book a child can pick out for himself, for keeps. A book that really belongs to him and makes him want to read. It works. There are more than 150 local RIFT programs starting up in communities like yours. They're proving that once you get a child into books, there's no stopping him. Won't you help? Write to RIFT Incorporated, that's RIF, care of Smithsonian Institution, Washington, D.C., 20560.
Little bar, Paddy Noonan's, and Jerry Price stops there every evening on his way home from work. He's not looking for anything special in the way of atmosphere, adventure, companionship, and he has no intention of getting drunk. Just a couple of beers, perhaps, to bridge a busy day, to ease the fatigue, the strain on his nerves. In the comfortable half-light of Paddy Noonan's, the world outside becomes vague. Distant, especially when old man O'Rourke is holding forth.
And he lay there, his head against the barricade, and the blood from him falling soft upon the pavement. I looked in his face, and I could see his death was upon him. 'Tis a bitter thing, I said, to die at 17. And for a moment, his darkening eyes held mine. And with his last strength, he said, 'Tis a sweet thing to die for Ireland.
Sweet indeed, Mr. O'Rourke. Any calls for one on the house?
I thank you, Paddy Noonan.
Ah, I see, Jerry Price. Excuse me. Good evening, Jerry.
Hi.
I didn't notice you come in.
Well, when old man O'Rourke's in form, you don't see anybody, Paddy.
The old man there, he carries his war. I know I carry mine. You ever think of yours, Jerry?
No, never.
Never?
No. The day I came home from Vietnam, I put away the uniform. I also put away everything that went with it, the army, the war, like a snake sheds his skin. Oh, the past is gone, Paddy. It's dead, so you forget it. You go on to other things.
Hey, what's everybody drinking? This round's on me. Set him up, Paddy.
Mr. Edward Clark himself. And what's the occasion?
Hey, I got a little announcement. Guess what the old lady tells me this morning? Number 10 is on its way.
Oh, with that event, the round must be on the house, Mr. Clark.
Just a quick one, Paddy. Hey, I got the truck outside.
What are you hoping for this time, Ed? Boy or girl?
Let's see. What do I got now? Four boys and five... No. No, I got five boys and four... Ah, who can keep them straight? All I know is I'm always tripping over somebody. Yeah. 10 kids in 12 years.
Well, you can't tell me it isn't exciting to hear there's going to be a new baby.
Oh, yeah. I know it's going to be a kid who'll wet its pants and keep me up half the night. It's another mouth I got to feed. Yeah, well, guys, I got to ride. I'll see you tomorrow.
You know, Paddy, it's funny. People who don't want kids, can't stand kids, can't afford them, can't raise them, they can't help getting kids. Whereas, oh, well, guess there just isn't any justice in this world.
Well, there may be no justice, Jerry, but there's always hope. How long have you been married?
Right after I got out of the Army, it'll be 9 years.
The fellow used to come in here, and they were married 15 years before they had their first.
Am I really out of the Army 9 years? Tell me, Paddy, you're an old philosopher. Where does it go, huh?
Down the hatch and try another.
Yeah, don't mind if I do. Oh, wait on a paying customer first.
Where?
The fella standing at the end of the bar.
What are you saying, Jerry? There's nobody standing at the end
in,
of it.
In the brown hat and a raincoat.
Now, Jerry, what are you saying?
I know. That's Paul.
Tell me, what's the matter, Jerry?
Paul.
Jerry, listen to me. There's no
Paul.
Way.
Paul. Hey, he was just standing here. Where'd he go? Where is he?
Jerry, where is who? Are you all right, Jerry?
Yeah, I'm all right. But I saw him.
Who?
A guy I was in the Army with.
The two of you. Were you close?
He was my buddy.
Well, when was the last time you saw him in person?
The night he was killed.
Have you Have you ever seen him again? Like you thought you did just now?
No. No, this is the first time.
Well, maybe you need a rest, Jerry.
Hattie, why now? Why tonight after all these years?
Well, you say you saw him last the night he died in battle. Well, the sight of him dead must have stayed with you always.
But that's not how I just saw him, Patty. He wasn't in uniform. He was in civilian clothes.
You might have pictured him as he looked at a happier time.
I never saw him in civilian clothes. We met in the army. And, Patty, I didn't see him as he was then. We were both kids, about 20. I saw him the way he'd look today, about 30. His face was more mature.
Jerry, are you sure he's dead?
He is dead, Patty. I just saw him. I know I saw him.
Jerry, it's after midnight.
Oh, I'm not finished, honey. I have to clean up these reports, Marge.
Honey, a new rule has just been passed in this house. All paperwork shall be done in the daytime.
Marge, I have to call on customers. Be reasonable, huh?
Am I the kind of wife who makes idle criticism? No, indeed. Constructive suggestions, that's my motto. Northeast Distributors can solve all your paperwork problems by hiring a girl.
Honey, I'm lucky to have the job.
No, Jerry. You're not lucky. They're lucky. Well, everybody knows you're a terrific salesman. Well, you could get another job tomorrow. More money, less headache.
Honey, I couldn't walk out on Joe Keller.
Why not?
Well, I'll never forget what that man did for me. I came home from the army, a kid with no experience. I needed a job. He took a chance with me. Now he needs me.
I'm just worried about you, Jerry. You look so tired all the time.
No, I'm in great shape.
Will you go see Doc Steiner?
I did, today.
Oh, well, it's about time. You needed a checkup.
Well, I didn't just go for the checkup, honey. I went for the other thing.
Jerry.
Well, he said some people, men, well, they're okay in every way, but it just doesn't work out for them.
Jerry, it's all right.
No, honey. It's all my fault.
Oh, honey.
It's... Well, it's just unlikely there can ever be any kids. He said unlikely. What he meant was impossible.
We've got each other.
Yeah. If only you didn't want a child so badly.
Now we'll definitely think about adopting. Okay?
Yeah, okay.
Sometimes that works out even better. Come on, honey, let me see you smile.
Marge, I don't know what I'd do without you.
Oh, that makes us even. I don't know what I'd do without you. Come on, get to bed.
Yeah, I'll just have a cigarette, huh? Well, honey, why'd you turn on the music?
To make sure you don't try to sneak in some work. I know you can't concentrate with the music going.
Oh, just be a couple of minutes, honey.
Let's hear that password.
Paul, is that you?
Jerry. Hey, climb down the hole and make yourself at home.
Man, I'm so beat I can't even remember the password.
That's all right. I don't even know what it is.
Yeah, got a cigarette?
What'd they want back at the CP, Jerry?
A patrol.
You going?
Yep.
But you went out yesterday.
Well, maybe I better write to my congressman, huh?
I don't have any more cigarettes. Here, finish this one.
Paul, I don't know if I can go out again. We're being relieved tomorrow. We were promised a rest. I just don't know if I can go out again.
But you ain't going out, Jerry. Didn't you hear? I'm going.
Oh, no.
I'll say you and I made a trade.
No, Paul. I can't let some other guy
but
do...
But I'm not some other guy. I'm your buddy. What's the matter, Jerry? You never did it for me? Have a drag on that butt, Jerry?
Paul, you're alive.
I'm alive, Jerry. I'm here with you, in your living room.
No, you can't be here. I went out afterward. I found your body. I carried it back. Maybe it wasn't you.
It was me.
But you were dead. You were killed.
Yes, Jerry. I was killed.
Jerry, will you turn that radio off and come to bed?
Marge, he's here.
Who's here?
Can't you see him?
Jerry, I don't see anyone.
Paul, why can't she see you?
She will. They all will.
When?
Later. I have to go now, Jerry.
No, no, Paul. Paul, tell her.
Jerry.
She'll think I'm crazy, Paul. Paul. He's gone, Marge. He's gone.
Jerry, honey, what's going on here?
Marge, he was here. He was right here. Now, you got to believe that. I'm not drunk, and I'm not crazy.
I believe you. I believe you, Jerry. Now, here, just sit down. Don't do anything. Don't say anything.
We know who she's calling, but can a doctor help what ails Jerry? In a moment, we'll return to Jerry and Marge and Paul when we listen to Act Two.
I'm High Brown, producer of Radio Mystery Theater. And as you may imagine, I'm excited about this new adventure in modern radio, this new statement of radio's marvelous power to stir the imagination. Now, we're wondering about your reaction. About who you are and how you like what we're doing. So to encourage you to get in touch with us, we're holding a drawing for 3 weeks. 50 prizes a week, 2 AM-FM stereo phonos, 2 travel clock radios, and 46 anthologies of modern suspense. Just mail us your name and address, and you're eligible. Of course, we'd like knowing whether your glad radio drama is back, but name and address will do it. To Mystery Theater, Box 50, Radio City Station, New York, 119. That's Box 50, Radio City Station, New York, 119. All for good everywhere, unless locally prohibited.
We hope you're enjoying our new CBS Mystery Theater. It's another addition to our KIXI programming we're very proud of. We've made quite a few additions in the past year. For instance, we've added 1,000 people to our news team. People like Walter Cronkite, Dan Rather, Wynne Elliott, Douglas Edwards, Mike Wallace. Just 6 of the more than 1,000 CBS reporters who help make KIXI Seattle's number one news service. And in the morning, we provide the only 90-minute news service in the area, 7 to 8:30 each morning, Monday through Friday. The complete CBS news team, plus Seattle's best local coverage and up-to-the-second traffic reports. This is Dean Smith. Join me and Bob Little, Ken Stewart, Clarence McDaniels, Norm Bobrow, Gary Jeanette, plus Chet Huntley, Charles Osgood, and the CBS News team for Seattle's best news coverage. 90 minutes of news each day, Monday through Friday, 7 to 8:30 a.m. here on KIXI 91 a.m., 96 FM, where the listeners are.
And now, Act Two of The Bullet. Let us trace the path of the bullet. We have a worried Marge, a concerned Dr. Steiner, and a distracted Jerry.
Tell me about this man, Paul, you called him Jerry.
I said we were buddies, Doctor. That tells it all.
Jerry, please don't be so hostile. Dr. Steiner's only trying to help.
You were buddies. You came back alive and he didn't.
You.
There's an extensive medical literature on the subject.
Oh, I'm sure there is.
Jerry.
I'm not being hostile, Marge. I know I saw him.
Of course you saw him.
Well, finally.
But that doesn't mean he was there. You see, Jerry, the death of a wartime comrade remains an eternal reproach. All who survive are sentenced forever to feelings of guilt.
No, no, no. Doctor, the wars are fought by kids in foxholes. The literature is written by doctors and officers.
That's hardly fair, Jerry.
I'm the authority on war, Doctor, because I was a kid in a foxhole, and I don't feel guilty about my buddy.
You don't?
No.
Tell me why.
Oh, you wouldn't believe it.
Try me.
All right. You see, there's a bullet, and it's designed especially for you. And if it's your bullet, it'll find you no matter where you are. You can't evade it, you can't avoid it. It was meant for you, it was meant to be. You and a bullet. Both of you were dust originally. You were dust because the Bible says so. And the bullet was also just dust in the ground. Well, that bullet was mined and refined and cast into metal. It was shaped into a slug and joined with a shell. It was one of billions of bullets, but it was yours, all yours. And at the right time, there'd be a tremendous explosion of gases in a narrow chamber, and a bullet would be torn loose from the shell case and spun around the grooves of a gun barrel and hurled through space. This is the bullet you don't hear. You don't hear it, Doctor. You don't hear it whine past your ear or ping off a rock or thwack against a tree. That's because it's your very own bullet. It's coming to meet you, or you're going to meet it. It's been arranged. You see? It's an appointment that can never be broken. The dust that had become the bullet would encounter the dust that had become you. And after a while, both of you would become dust once again and return to the ground. Your original home.
Jerry, I know you're overworked, you're overwrought, you're overtired.
I keep telling him to slow down.
Okay, I know I'm under a strain. I know I'm working too hard, but what can I do?
Jerry, try to understand. Right now, you're having what is popularly known as a nervous breakdown. This alleged visitor from another world. I say he's an illusion. I say you have subconscious feelings about him which you're not aware of. And I say they burst through because of heavy pressure on your nervous system.
Yeah, I knew you'd say that.
Prove me wrong.
How?
Go away. Get out from under. Rest a while. Relax.
Oh, honey, this looks like a good spot. You want to stop here and try for some fish?
Well, Marge, I think I'd like to go back and play nine holes this afternoon.
Great. I need more practice with my iron.
Honey, you know, you've been getting a lot of sun. Maybe you better take it easy for a few hours, huh?
And besides, you have an appointment with, what's that name? Biscayne Appliances. See, Jerry, I wasn't sleeping when you called that number this morning.
No, Marge, I've been good all month. I was just getting restless, that's all. Look, they're a big chain down here. If I can open them up, I'll justify the trip.
Justify? To whom? Why do you have to justify anything? Isn't your health important enough?
Honey, Joe Keller was very nice about it.
Joe Keller had no choice.
Marge. Honey, Steiner was right. I was beat. I don't know how I managed to drag myself along. So I did the right thing. I chucked it all. Now I'm fit, see? I never felt better in my life, and I'm raring to go.
Great. In a month or two, we may think about going back.
I'm not used to being idle, honey.
Neither am I, but I am learning to love it.
Oh, boy. Why didn't I meet you when I was young?
Young? Jerry, you weren't even 21.
No, I was already made when we met. I had already become what I was going to be. You know, I've got a certain amount of ability.
A tremendous amount, Jerry.
But I'm not confident, honey. I doubt myself. I guess I didn't have very much encouragement when I was a kid. You know, my brother was a great athlete. My sister was a great beauty. I was kind of clumsy and funny looking. Anyway, Frank and Alice were sent to college. When my turn came, the money had run out. Or maybe they thought I wasn't worth the effort. That's why I enlisted when I was 18. I had to get away from the house and my father. There was no place else to go.
You never told me this, honey.
I decided if I ever had a kid, I'd never make jokes at his expense or tear him down in any way. I know how these things cut inside where it doesn't show. I would do everything to build him up and get him confidence. I will never... never have any real confidence, Marge.
Oh, yes, you will.
No, baby. You won't get it from a pep talk. I think we can go back home now, Marge.
Mm. All right, on one condition. You'll just have to slow down.
Mm-hmm. I promise.
And, honey, there's only one way you can really slow down. That's to get a partnership from Joe Keller.
No, Marge.
Don't you deserve it?
Of course I do.
Well, we're going to adopt a child. Which means I'll quit my job, and you're not going to spend time on the road. That kid'll need both of us, won't he?
Yes, honey, he will.
Then we need that partnership, don't we?
Jerry! baby. You look like $1 million. That's 2% for cash, of course.
Yeah, Joe.
Now, hold it, hold it. Ramona, no calls. I'm in a meeting. I can't be disturbed.
Well, anyhow, Joe, hello.
I want you to take it easy for a while, you hear?
Yeah, I'm ready for action, Joe.
Oh, you think you're ready. Now, listen. I know you had a lot of expenses. I want you to take this little check. It's only $500. I'm strapped for cash this week. I had to pop for a whole new computer center. But anyway, I decided to increase your bonus to 5%. That'll amount to a pretty sweet raise, huh?
Now, Joe...
Don't thank me, kid. You're entitled to it. We got to make sure you don't get sick again.
Joe, I have to talk with you.
Well, sure, kid. What about?
Well, it's, personal and important.
Well, let me buy you lunch. Well, Jerry, what are we going to talk about? I'm fresh out of polite conversation.
Joe, I want a partnership.
No, you don't, Jerry.
But, Joe...
No, don't interrupt. You don't want one. You'd like one. Two different things.
Don't nitpick, Joe.
You'd like a partnership, which means it would be swell. Great if you had it. But want is something else. It means lack. It means need. I know you'd like to own a business, but you're not cut out to be an owner.
Why?
Because an owner is an officer. And in your heart, you'll always be an enlisted man. Tell me, could you ever fire a guy because you could get someone else cheaper? If an old customer, a good friend, was getting slow paying bills, could you cut him off? Thousands of guys like you go bankrupt every year. You're nice, sweet, big-hearted. But you don't have the guts business needs.
Well, I'd like to remind you of the value myself.
I know it to the penny, Jerry, and you're well paid for it.
Well, I'm worth more now.
You are. You got a sweet raise this morning.
Joe, don't think I'm not grateful. You gave me my first break. But I think I can do better elsewhere.
Where?
Anywhere. Consolidated, Freeman and Singer. Should I go down the list?
Oh, they'd love to have you, Jerry. What'll they pay? They handle the nationally advertised brands. What'll you be there, glorified order taker? They don't need your full selling ability, so they don't have to pay you full price for it. Sure, with me, you push out all the schlock. It's rough, but you get top dollar. There's 20 outfits like mine. They grab you tomorrow, but where's the improvement? They won't pay you more. At least here, you got 9 years equity in a pension plan. You and me are used to each other. Besides, I really like you. Yeah. Sometimes I feel like a father to you, Jerry.
It was a fiasco, Patty, a fiasco. And how do I break it to Marge?
Oh, what's it all about, Jerry?
Well, at least I don't have to put up with Ed Clark tonight. I think I'd punch him right in the mouth.
We'll be deprived of his wonderful company the next 2 weeks. He's tooling that trailer into the Southwest.
Hello, Jerry.
What? Patty, is someone standing behind me?
No, Jerry.
Well, will you tell me why?
I'll tell you everything, Jerry.
When?
Soon. I think maybe tonight.
Paul, why do you keep popping in like this?
I don't know, buddy. I can't control that.
Yeah, but Paul. Patty, don't you see anyone?
No, Jerry.
Well, you didn't hear anyone talking to me either.
No.
Patty, do you think I'm crazy?
Well, maybe you should see a doctor.
I saw a doctor.
Well, how about one of them psychiatrist fellas?
I never even told my wife. I did see a psychiatrist. But after a while, I figured, why pay him $50 an hour when I can come in here and talk to you for nothing?
Well, there must be more to them fellas than that.
Oh, sure. He said that the roots of my problem go back to my unhappy childhood. But, Patty, I have a brother, Frank, who feels terribly insecure. He goes to a psychiatrist, too. Why? He had a happy childhood.
Well, put it this way. If you see someone and I don't, the flaw can be in me and not in you. Drink?
No. I better go home and face the music.
Hello?
Harry.
What? Paul.
Let's go someplace and talk.
Where?
Let's go to the parking lot. Sit in your car.
It's cold. That won't bother you, will it?
Not yet. Turn the heater on for yourself.
When will everyone else be able to see you, Paul?
In 2 weeks.
Oh, that's great.
No, it ain't.
Why not?
Because you'll be dead.
Because you'll be dead. Cold words from a warm friend. The chill inside the car becomes intense. But Jerry knows there's no point in turning on the heater. We'll rejoin these two friends when I return shortly with Act Three.
When you say but,
why do some people think Bud is sort of special? Go ahead and find out why. With a Bud. Or maybe with the Budweiser label. Without making a big deal of it, the label just sort of lays it on the line. It lists ingredients and comes right out and tells you, too, very simply, how the Budweiser people feel about the beer they brew. And that sort of adds up to this, that brewing beer right does make a difference. Okay?
When you say Bud,
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
One of my favorite motion picture roles was the part of the girl in Psycho. I'm Janet Leigh. Tony Perkins played a character who was mentally ill. In my private life, I do quite a lot of volunteer work for mentally retarded children. And I've learned that many people confuse mental retardation with mental illness. Mentally retarded people are not mentally ill, not mentally disturbed at all. Actually, mentally retarded people just learn more slowly than most of us do, and each and every one can be taught, taught to do many of the things that are necessary to a normal way of life. With help, many become self-sufficient, self-supporting members of their communities. It gives me great personal satisfaction when I am able to help a mentally retarded person even one small part of the way on the road toward independence. But it's a big job, and it's not an easy one. Will you join me in supporting the people who are trying to get the job done? Your local association of the National Association for Retarded Children. Thank you.
And now we return to the final act of The Bullet and a reunion of two war buddies who haven't seen each other in almost 9 years. Jerry Price, who is alive, and Paul Gardner, who is dead.
The heater in this car doesn't do much good. You're shivering.
Why am I going to be dead, Paul?
Remember the night I went out on the patrol?
Yeah, I'll remember that night as long as I live.
I completed my job. I was headed back. And then I felt something smash against my head. And I knew. I knew I just met the bullet. You know, the bullet we used to talk about? I bet you don't remember.
No, I remember.
I felt it slam into me. And then, I didn't know anything anymore.
Yeah, well, when the guys told me, I went out to get you, Paul.
Yeah, I might have known you would. One minute, I was moving through a rice paddy. And the next minute, I'm sitting in an office. And I knew a lot of time had gone by. Don't ask me how. I knew, that's all. A man was talking to me.
What kind of man?
You know the type that's a clerk in the government or a big corporation, fussy, self-important. Everything's got to be in the right place. He doesn't even look at me. He's got a piece of paper. He says, Paul Gardner, you're going back. You should not have died that night. The computation was for you to survive. The plan was for you to marry a girl named Marjorie Stone.
I married Marjorie Stone?
Yeah. I told the guy. I want no part of it. And he gives me a look, this clerk does, like he couldn't care less about me or you or anybody else. And he says, come with me. He leads me to a door. It opens. And all I can hear is a hum and a clicking. And all I can see is a computer. I mean, there's no end to the thing. That's all you can see is computer. And he says, there it is, friend. City Hall. Go fight it. By this time, I'm shaking. That machine scared the pants off me. You couldn't see the top nor the bottom of it. There was no end to it, just the machine, wherever the eye could see.
Well, then what happened?
This clerk, he tells me there's a plan. A capital P plan. It calls for me to come home. Not you.
Yeah, well, maybe that's fair, Paul. You were always the better man.
No. You got more on the ball. You never got a break, that's all. I had a chance to go to school, become somebody. I could have gone into the old man's business, become the biggest hardware dealer in Atlanta. You and me, we both run away to join the army. You because you had nothing. Me because I had everything.
But why are you coming back?
Because Marge and I are supposed to have a boy. A certain kind of a boy. He'll grow up, I don't know, discover something, create something, or be somebody the world needs real bad. They wouldn't tell me what. Anyhow, 40, 50 years from now, he has to be here. And of all the millions of men and women, he could only be born to me and Marge.
When am I leaving?
I told you. In 2 weeks.
How?
9 o'clock at night. A trailer truck will go past Patty Noonan's saloon. Just as you're crossing the street.
But why does it have to be like that?
Because you don't know how careful these things are figured. You could get killed a million ways. But the plan calls for a truck driven by a guy named Ed Clark.
Oh, yeah, I know Ed Clark.
He doesn't have a good record. So it'll be easy to prove he's a careless driver. He works for a big outfit, so Marge will have a good settlement.
But why? I still don't understand.
She'll need the money. You see, I won't be a good father. Not as good as you, for sure. Oh, I'll love the kid. I'll love Marge, but I won't be there a lot. You know me. I have to keep moving.
But if you know how important it is for the kid...
I won't know. Once I'm alive, I won't remember any of this.
And you say it's all figured out, maybe not. The human element. How can the machine predict Marge would go for you, huh?
With all due respect, Jerry, did I ever have any trouble landing any dame I had my sights on?
Well, with all due respect, I can't see Marge falling for your line of chatter.
She will, Jerry. I'll be there when she's having a bad time. She'll be all alone. She'll need somebody. Things will take their natural course. Sure, she'll see through my line, but after a while, she'll get to like it. I'm different. You're quiet. I raise hell. You let things eat at your insides, not me. I pop off. Maybe my way's no better in the long run. And she's married to you, and she loves you. But deep in her heart, she loves my way better. She'll fall in love with... Jerry, you have to believe I don't want to do this, but it was your bullet, not mine.
Jerry?
Hmm?
What are you thinking about?
Oh, the guy downstate wants to cancel a carload of refrigerators, so I'm figuring an approach.
Didn't we agree? No more work at home?
Yeah, well, honey, this is just thinking.
Did you talk to Joe Keller about the partnership?
Yeah.
And?
He said no.
Did you give him notice?
No, he gave me a raise.
Oh. Okay.
Marge.
Why don't you mix us a drink?
Honey, aren't you going to say anything?
Mm-hmm. Don't put in too much ice.
Marge, please, you don't understand.
I understand. I married a certain kind of man.
And you're stuck with him?
No. I'll stick by him. Because I love him.
Would you have wanted a guy who'd barge into Joe Keller's office and say, Joe, either give me half the joint or I'll open up across the street and run you out of business?
Oh, come on,
answer me, Marge. I have to know.
Well, maybe I did.
Why didn't you marry him?
He never showed up.
So you settled for me?
That's what's known as falling in love. Come on, honey, take me to the movies.
No, I don't want to take you to the movies. Let's go downtown and see a play.
But that's a lot of money.
Are you going to worry about money? Now, look, this weekend, would you like to fly out to, say, Snow Valley and ski? Yeah, or how about Las Vegas, huh?
Jerry, what's gotten into you?
Honey, we're going to have 2 weeks of the most fantastic
fun. Why 2 weeks? Oh, what's so special?
You? Me? I just want to spend the rest of my life having a ball with you.
Stranger.
Hi, Pat.
Haven't seen you. Why, it must be weeks. Where have you been?
Oh, giving Marge a good time.
Well, I must say, it's done wonders for you. You look so calm.
Do I?
Do you ever see the little guy who wasn't there?
No.
Well, that's good. Let's drink to it. Jerry, if I'm not being forward, what did he want from you?
You wouldn't believe it, Patty.
Do you believe it?
Well, I just dropped in to say hello, Patty, and goodbye.
Jerry.
Yeah?
Something's the matter with you.
Well, I understand Ed Clark is due back here tonight. I don't want to run into him. I just don't want to talk to him.
Well, if that's how you feel, I'll bar him from the joint. Now, Jerry, something's wrong with you.
No, nothing, Patty.
Now, look, I'm an old soldier, Jerry. I can tell.
No, it's really nothing.
Really, is it? No, Jerry, you got a look on your face.
What kind of look?
I've seen it before in the war. I've seen it on men who go out on the impossible mission. The look of men who know they're not coming back. The resigned look. What are you resigned to, Jerry?
You have a vivid imagination.
I have an imagination. Jerry, whatever it is, don't be resigned to it. Fight it.
You can't fight City.
I knew it. You're in a fight, Jerry. Well, you can fight anybody. You're an ex-combat soldier, and you weren't afraid of anything. When you were out there, you faced up to death, hunger, despair. What happened to you, Jerry? Where did you lose it? Face up to it now. Whoever he is, spit in his eye.
Patty, I can't do anything.
Jerry, I'm going to throw you out of here for your own good. Now leave. Leave town. Go far away for a while. Fight it, Jerry. Fight it.
Patty, wherever I go.
Listen to old Patty. Just take off.
Don't you see there's a plan?
Who cares? Put up a fight.
Why are you so upset, Patty, huh?
I don't know. But listen to me. Fight now. Now get out of here.
Patty, it's Jerry. I decided to fight it.
Good boy, Jerry.
You know, Patty, there's something about your place. I don't know how to say it, but I feel stronger, better, away from it.
Well, I don't mind.
So I'm going to fight. What have I got to lose, huh? Why should I do what he tells me? Why should I believe him?
I don't know what it is, but I agree.
I'll see you around, Patty.
Universal Airlines, flight number 3 for Los Angeles and Mexico City, now boarding at gate 17.
Who are you calling, Jerry?
Marge, I have to tell him.
Oh. Jerry, don't do it this way. There'll be 100 other people on that plane. Do it the way it has to be done.
Paul, I have to fight you.
Why?
Because it isn't fair.
Was it fair for me to stop your bullet? Come on, Jerry. Ed Clark will be tooling by Patty's in less than an hour.
Paul, I don't know if I have the nerve.
I'll help you, buddy. I'll help you. Come on.
Hello? What is it, Mr. Noonan?
I called you, and I hope it wasn't out of turn, Mrs. Price. It's about Jerry.
What about Jerry?
He's sitting back there in a booth. Now, wait. Don't go to him yet. He's in trouble.
Well, it can't be. We've had such a glorious 2 weeks.
He's in trouble.
Well, what kind of trouble?
I don't know. We have to help him somehow.
Is it that buddy?
I think so.
Well, the time has come to lay that nonsense to rest once and for all, and I'm going to...
That won't work. Agree with him.
Show him anything he wants is okay with you. Don't fight him. All we can give him is love.
Hi, honey.
Hi.
Buy me a drink?
Oh, sure. You know, I never knew you had those little gold highlights in your hair.
Oh, I'm using a different bottle this week.
I love you.
I love you, too. And I want you to be with me always.
Come on, Jerry. Let's start.
No, not yet.
Are you talking to me?
The plan calls for it.
How do I know there is a plan?
Ask anybody. Ask Marge.
Jerry, what are you talking about?
Marge, do you believe there's a plan that determines the actions of everybody in the whole world?
No.
You sure?
I'm sure.
Well, then how do you think things work out?
Every which way.
Come on, Jerry. It's time.
No, I won't go.
Where won't you go?
Then, Marge, as far as you're concerned, there isn't any plan.
Well, what do you think, Jerry?
No, that's not important. What do you think?
Well, yes. Yes, there is a plan. I can prove it.
You can?
Yes, but you started me thinking there has to be a plan. Otherwise, you and I, we just never would have met. Remember that day?
Yeah. You were taking cash at Ryman's drugstore. That's the only reason I walked in there.
Well, I'd already given notice I was going to leave. And then you walked in and asked Doc if you could open a charge. Then and there, I decided to stay.
And where were you going?
Oh, away. Pull up stakes.
Why?
Well, my folks were gone, my friends were married, neighborhood had changed. The girl I went to school with had a father, a construction engineer. He'd been transferred. Well, she took a job in his new office, and she wrote and said she found a nice crowd. They needed secretaries down there. She could fix it up. Well, why not? I was set to go. But it was not to be. You came wandering into Ryman's. Obviously, there's a master plan that rules our lives.
And where was this wonderful place you almost went to?
Atlanta.
Atlanta?
Oh, what's so remarkable about that, Jerry?
It was definite you were going.
Well, sure.
And only because you met me.
Only because I met you. Otherwise, I'd have gone to Atlanta and married a southern millionaire. But evidently something had been planned for me. Aren't you flattered? I met you. And it changed my whole life.
Are you ready to go now, Jerry?
Marge, will you come with me?
Yes, Jerry. Where do you want to go?
Well, I have to do something.
I'll come with you.
No, wait here, darling. Please.
It's time, buddy. Just like going out on a patrol.
Jerry, where are you going?
It's all right, Patty. It's all right.
I didn't want this, buddy.
I know. I don't want you to take my bullet either.
Goodbye, Jerry.
Yeah, goodbye, Paul. Take care of her for me, huh?
You know I will. Here, you're cold. Let me throw this coat over you.
She's gonna faint.
It's all right. I've got her. We'll bring her into that bar where it's warm. Give her a little stimulant. It's all right. Everything will be all right. It'll be all right.
So many people preface what they believe with, "It is written." It is written in the stars. It is written on the wind. And for so many like Jerry, it is written on the bullet. I'll be back shortly.
And now another tale of the ball and chain. As Kellogg's Special K presents
Last Tango in Pittsburgh.
There I was
at Raoul's All Night Tango Lounge.
My little orchid, will you tango with me?
It was Raoul.
You're a splendid dancer.
Thank you.
But what was that?
I was what?
That sound effect.
Oh, I'm a few pounds overweight, and this ball and chain points out how my extra weight can get in the way.
I'm pointing you back to your chair.
Our heroine decided to lose that extra weight. She exercised and ate smart at every meal, starting with a Special K breakfast, a bowl of Special K skim milk, tomato juice, and coffee. It's less than 240 calories, 99% fat-free, and 100% delicious. After a while, she was rid of the ball and chain and back at Raoul's.
Darling, you're looking fantastic.
What a happy ending.
What an ending. We're just getting started.
Raoul, get lost.
Your happy ending could begin with the Kellogg's Special K breakfast.
And that's another tale of the ball and chain.
I remember an old soldier once told me he wasn't worried about the bullet that had his name on it. What really bothered him was the bullet marked "To whom it may concern." Our concern is mystery, excitement, suspense, thrills and chills. Our cast included Larry Haynes, E.V. Juster, Martin Newman, Ralph Bell, Leon Janney, and Danny Acco. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and by the Kellogg Company, makers of Kellogg's Special K cereal. Now, a preview of our next tale.
The only way to learn how to swim is to jump in the water, right? Well, that's what you need, Julia.
I simply can't make you understand, can I?
Well, maybe I can make you understand. Ah, forget it. You want to get that dinner ready? I'm hungry.
Yes, yes, I'm going now.
Why don't you change first?
Change?
Yeah, your clothes. Get more comfortable.
Yes, I think I'd like to do that, George. I won't be long.
Take it easy. That's my surprise. That's a teller.
Get him out of here. Please, George. Take him away.
It's only a dog, for Pete's sake. He's not going to hurt you.
Get it out, George. Please.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our mystery theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Next on KIXI, Seattle. And the weather outlook calls for variable cloudiness through Thursday with slight chance of a few snow flurries tomorrow night and again Thursday. The highs in the mid-30s tomorrow, the upper 30s on Thursday, lows in the mid-20s. And currently in downtown Seattle, a temperature of 31 degrees. The barometer is rising. It reads 30.02. The time is 11 p.m.
CBS News. The Knight newspaper chain reports that the Internal Revenue Service is expected to rule soon that President Nixon did not pay enough on his 1970 federal income taxes. This is Ann Crosman reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The report quotes a source supposedly familiar with the Nixon tax investigation as saying Mr. Nixon should have paid a capital gains tax on the sale of part of his San Clemente estate. That could come to about $30,000 in back taxes plus 6% annual interest, says the chain. More news after this.
Are you an unpublished author? Do you have a book-length manuscript ready or almost ready for publication? Or do you know of anyone else who is an unpublished author? If so, Vantage Press invites you to write to a leading New York publisher for a free illustrated brochure titled To the Author in Search of a Publisher. It explains how you may have your manuscript printed and published in a matter of months. Just write to GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. Whether your subject is fiction, nonfiction, poetry, or even scientific, specialized, or controversial, this 52-page brochure shows you how to arrange for prompt publication. To get your copy, write to GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. That's GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. If this is your first book, you'll find this free brochure especially valuable and informative. Write to GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York. GPO, Box 1414, New York, New York.
The current fuel shortage is a matter of concern for the air industry because it could mean raising prices for passenger service. Hal Walker reports from Washington.
The president of the Air Transport Association, Paul Ignatius, appealed to Energy Chief William Simon to do something about the rising cost of jet fuel or face the consequence of pricing air travel out of the reach of millions of Americans. Ignatius said that projections show his industry paying $1 billion more for jet fuel in 1974 than in 1973. This, he said, would have to be reflected in drastically costlier plane tickets.
Air transportation is a mass form of transportation needed by and enjoyed by the vast bulk of the American people. So if these fuel prices rise rapidly, we're concerned that the airfares will become so high that a lot of people who need to use the airlines will be unable to afford the cost of traveling on them.
Ignatius asked for a meeting this week between representatives of the airline industry and the Federal Energy Office to discuss jet fuel pricing, which FEO now controls. Hal Walker, CBS News, Washington.
Wholesale prices rose sharply last month in the worst monthly increase in 25 years, up 2.2%, more than 18% higher than for December of last year. That announcement prompted Democratic Senator William Proxmire to label the administration's present wage and price control program a dismal flop.
Well, you know, a close look at the wholesale price index indicates that inflation is far more widespread than people thought it was. It's not just confined to energy and oil. This is something that spreads throughout the economy. We've had an enormous rise, for example, in the last year in clothing. We've had a big rise in many other areas. And I think it indicates that what we need is a new anti-inflation program, one we certainly don't have now.
Senator Proxmire, what's the current economic situation going to do to workers who are seeking wage increases this year? CBS News asked Bill Hamilton, who is a spokesman for the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees Union.
Well, the cost of living has gone up 8.4, and we settled for 5.5 last go around. You can see we've taken a 3% beating, so to begin with, we're going to have to make up for that, and then we're going to have to anticipate that this incredible inflation is going to continue. The wholesale price index increase is just a sure sign that we're going to have more inflation for the months to come. And as the cost of living goes up, our wages are going to have to accommodate to it.
A spokesman for the state, county, and municipal employees. Back in a minute.
Don't let anyone con you into thinking it's wrong to turn in a heroin pusher. You're not ratting. You're doing your part to wipe out one of the most insidious epidemics racking our country today. So don't let anyone kid you. If you really care about the quality of life, if you really care about improving society, you'll do everything you can to get the heroin pusher off the street and into jail where he belongs. If you have information about a drug pusher, use the heroin hotline. The number is 800-368-5363. That's toll-free from anywhere in the country. The number again is 800-368-5363. A trained operator will answer your call, take your information, and pass it on to experienced federal agents who will investigate. You'll make your own special contribution toward helping us wipe out what President Nixon has called public enemy number one. Call 800-368-5363.
Singer Bing Crosby is reported in satisfactory condition at a California hospital, but his doctor says Crosby has not responded to antibiotics for treatment of viral pneumonia. The doctor says he'll have to run more tests to find out what's causing Crosby's lung problem. Senator Hubert Humphreys reported making a good recovery after receiving X-ray treatments for a pinhead tumor of the bladder. Humphrey's office says the senator is doing office work in his room at Bethesda Naval Hospital and that he's cheered up by many letters he's received. Ann Crosman, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI, with the time 6 minutes past 11.
Here's more of the best music in the West from KIXI.